Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well. What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey. Say no more.
Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
L-O-V-E.
And life?
Yes,
in New York City.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I'm Dylan McDowell.
Happy New Year.
Yes, welcome to 2020. Yes. This is our first time sitting down since the ball dropped and the new decade has begun.
Yes.
Although some people are arguing that this isn't a new decade because technically there wasn't a year zero. And that the new year begins in 2021.
That doesn't make any sense.
I saw this hilarious meme that my coworker Adrian, shout out to Adrian, showed me that was like, these are the people who are claiming this isn't the new decade. And it showed like that like nerdy character from Dexter's Lab who was just like typing rudely, like a keyboard warrior type scenario.
I forget that character's name.
I know, but he was rude.
But mean nerds, that's like one of our biggest pet peeves, honestly.
I know, I hate that.
I hate mean nerds.
Like a condescending scenario.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the new year, and I feel so good heading into this new time and phase in life.
Me too. I think 2020 is going to be a great year.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, and today, especially, we are in the middle of a part one and part two of the play, The Inheritance.
Yes.
So I truly feel all over the place. I feel emotional. I feel shaken to my core. The hype is real.
You mentioned like dropped in. That is the best way to describe it. Like,
yes.
We knew we had this interview today and it was like, okay, we're going to be able to squeeze this in. It's all to the grace of our guest been able to work.
I know.
But I feel like kind of jostled because we saw part one and it's like 3 hours and 15 minutes.
With two intermissions.
Yes. And it is emotional.
It's so good. The acting is incredible.
I'm blown away by everyone. I haven't really had my chance to look in yet, but today is John Benjamin Hickey's last performance for a couple of months.
Oh, right.
He directs Plaza Suite coming to Broadway.
With Sarah Jessica Parker.
And Matthew Broderick.
Right, her husband. Mm-hmm. Her husband. That's right. SJP. Yeah, no, and then Tony Goldwyn is going to replace John Benjamin Hickey,
which is fascinating choice, but, you know, we got to love him forever.
I know. Oh, my God.
President Fitz.
Mm-hmm. I miss Scandal.
I know.
I miss Kerry Washington in general, I think. But
she'll
be in Little Fires Everywhere.
Yes. And we have American Son now on Netflix and things like that. But I want her back on Broadway again. And I want her for a run that happens during the spring so she can get nominated and win a Tony.
She should. For American Son, she should have been.
I know.
That doing that show, like her performance specifically, was high intensity, just emotional. If you've got a Netflix password, everyone must go on Netflix and watch American Son because it's gripping. It's drama.
And it is drama. And I was left breathless by the end.
I know.
I sat there and I was like, how can I just reenter normal life? Similar to today with The Inheritance.
Yeah. I love that when theater really does make you forget about what else is on your mind, like work troubles, boy troubles, to quote Carly Rae Jepsen on her album Emotion, boy problems. Who's got them? I've gotten them too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A prophet.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. For real. Best of the decade, I would say.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We didn't even like do like a New Year's wrap up, but
it's hard. You know, a lot of people were doing the decade wrap up. How could you possibly?
It's too many.
You could maybe do a year wrap up, but, you know, we spent our time over the holiday break, which we both got to go home to Cleveland, Ohio, where we're from. And we finally caved and got Disney Plus.
Yes. Oh my God.
It doesn't disappoint.
It doesn't. High School Musical, the musical, the series.
I want to have all of those kids on this podcast.
Yes, if you're listening, they're not. But we need you on Drama.
It honestly was a triggering experience to watch that show because we were back in the living room where we first watched the original movie of High School Musical. 13 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
And
that changed my life.
For sure. It was an earlier guest, Antonio Cipriano's, one of his like Ring of Keys moments was High School Musical.
Oh my God. We love.
Or at least it was like key to his life.
Yeah. You know? Disney Plus. It's got all the content. And you know, Disney also reminds me of something else. It reminds me of our guest today.
Our guest today.
That's right. Our guest today is one of the most in-demand working actresses on Broadway.
Yes, God.
After making her Broadway debut in Beautiful, the Carole King musical, she went on to be in the original cast of Sarah Bareilles' Waitress, which we've seen more times than one can count. She then made history as the first actress of color to play Princess Anna in Frozen on Broadway, standing by 8 shows a week. Lucky audiences have seen her as Felicia in Memphis, Witness, Uganda, and so much more, as well as singing in concerts and events around NYC. She is an inspiration to all, but especially her devoted social media followers through her positive, uplifting, and joyous presence. Please welcome to drama, Aisha Jackson!
Yes!
Hello, hello, hello.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, wow.
It's an honor to have you here.
Oh, you guys are sweet.
Oh, my God. Do you have Disney Plus?
No, I don't. As you were I don't have it. I think they should give it to us for free. I know.
Being part of the Disney conglomerate, you should just be given certain perks. Lifetime entry to the parks.
Come on.
Like a frequent flyer pass to any of the shows.
Come on. Mm-hmm. No. Oh my God. I mean, I'll take Disney Plus. That's all. You can just give me that.
Yeah.
There's so much content.
It's so much. It's a rabbit hole.
And they're adding more.
I'm sure.
Like
because
they just added the Proud Family.
Everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They do.
I will watch Proud Family.
Yes.
Proud Family. Yeah. Me and you will always be tight.
I love that.
Family every single day.
Even when you start acting like a boo. You know, I love every single thing you do.
Yes. I would watch that.
That was so good.
I loved that show.
That was so good.
Yeah.
Honestly,
so maybe
iconic.
I'll get it.
Yeah.
Aisha, are you well?
I am well. I am so well.
Oh,
I'm feeling refreshed and rejuvenated in this year of 2020.
Yes.
Oh my God. I'm doing really well. It's been a crazy ride.
Yeah, because you're also sort of, you know, looking ahead in like this new decade. Did you have any resolutions or anything?
So my friend his name is Roger Covington, CRF, Core Rhythm Fitness. He does like a little thing where we get together and we do declarations for the new year. And so we write them down and we like pray over them and we like just sit and meditate and encourage one another and hold each other accountable for these. So yeah, I have a few things that I wrote down.
That's really special. That's really great.
Yeah, but it's really cool. And you're just in this very vulnerable and open space and mm-hmm. you kind of release and let go of the previous year and you get ready to walk into the new one a little bit lighter. Let go of your burdens and think about some declaration. Declaring it. Because I think sometimes with resolutions we're like, oh yeah, I want to do this. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with a declaration, it's kind of like, I will do this. I declare that this is going to happen. It's kind of like speaking it into existence. Mm-hmm. A little bit more so than a resolution. Whatever. Whatever you want to do is up to you. But that's what he calls it. So
that's amazing.
That's so cool. I want to do that.
That's
up my alley.
Honor is all about those sorts of things.
I really am.
Mm-hmm. I know my resolutions in past, I was going to save this for my dose of drama, but my resolutions in past years, I found that I wasn't holding myself accountable when it wasn't like a number, like drink this much water a day or read this many books or whatever. And so I've started doing a combination of things, you know, like
we all have our ways, you know. I think you just have to do what's best for you and go from there.
Are you a really routine person?
I like a routine. I mean, a lot of my friends and family will say I'm very type A. I'm very okay. Like,
when's your birthday?
July 19th, 1991 is when I was born.
Yes.
I'm a Cancer.
Nice.
But I like to have a way, but I also like to like chill. So, So it's nice. Like my workout is at 8 a.m. sometimes. That's a routine. but other than that, I like to have a devotional time every day and I try to make myself cook more than I, you know, I eat out a lot. So there's that, but I try to make it healthy. But I guess a little bit of a routine.
I asked because you, as being a standby in the show, I feel like my anxiety would never be able to deal with that. Like at any moment.
Yes, it is anxiety inducing. But being a swing and beautiful kind of helped prepare me for that.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So that was my first dose of the anxiety of standing by, of covering. I swung over there for 6 of the ensemble girls.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
All 6. Actually, fun fact over there is the first Black Betty.
Wow.
Betty is typically played by a white ensemble girl, and so I covered 2 of the
Black Betty.
Yeah, Black Betty.
I love that.
And they played Black Betty like over the monitor when I went on. It was hilarious. It was crazy.
I love that show so much.
It's a beautiful show. It was.
Oh, I know. I keep forgetting that it's closed.
Yeah, it closed in, October? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they invited us all back to like take a bow and everything. It was really cool.
That's really special.
It was really cool. But my time there definitely helped me, you know, and prepared me for Standing By.
Did you get to sing One Fine Day?
I did. That was the first track I went on for.
That is like my favorite.
I love that. And it's like in the depths of my soul. Yeah. I love it.
Oh, come on.
I made my Broadway debut in that track.
Oh, that's special.
How cool.
Yeah. But a routine for Standing By, you kind of can't go too crazy because if I lived my life every single day, of course I have to like, are you well enough to do the play? Mm-hmm. But if I live my life like, okay, if she calls out, you have to prep your hair and you have to do this. Like if I lived like that, I would drive myself crazier than if I just chilled and was like, okay, when it happens, it happens.
Yes.
And then we go from there.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
So you have to be at the theater.
I do.
For every show.
I have to be there. So I come at half hour just like everybody else. Our dressing room is on the 7th floor.
Oh,
there is no elevator.
Oh my gosh.
Well, there is an elevator, but it doesn't go to our floor. It's like from the bottom floor to the 8th floor.
What?
Oh.
And they don't let us take it because it's for like the people who work in the office.
Right, because there's offices next door at the St. James.
So 7 flights of stairs. This booty looks good.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm there every day. I am not in makeup. Some people are always like, are you in makeup? Are you ready to go? My hair is not prepped. Mm-hmm. There was one time I had to go on 5 minutes before the show. And my hair was like in this nice little poof
afro. It looks beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes.
And I was like, what you want to do with this? Because it does take me a little bit longer to like do my braids. Because I do braids.
Right.
And so it's not like a quick pin curl. It takes a little bit longer. So that day was funny. I was like.
So it's not a wig?
I do have a wig.
Okay.
I do have a wig. I just don't do pin curls. So a prep for most women are pin curls.
Okay.
For women of color, sometimes it's easier to have braids.
Okay.
But I mean, I can pin curl, I can braid. I just prefer to braid. Yeah. So
a part of me wishes you could just wear your hair like that.
There was one day, caused a lot of controversy. There's one day that we were in a put-in rehearsal and I had on my out. So for put-ins, you have someone who's coming into the show and we're putting them into the show and they're in costumes. But the rest of us, we usually just have on like day clothes.
Okay.
But because we were putting in, I think it was a Hans or a Kristoff, because I deal with them so much during the show, they made me put my costumes on. Mm. And so I had on like this my ball gown.
Is it green?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. With my fro, because I had my fro that day. And I took a picture and I was like, I wish my Anna could have her fro. But you know. And I posted it and people went crazy.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
In a good way, but also there were like a few that were like, why do you, and I was like, okay, calm down.
I can't
calm it down.
That's just, you need to calm down.
You need to calm down. First of all, I'm not in my wig for the show, so sit down. Second, some little fro girl deserves to see herself in a Anna coronation gown with a fro.
Absolutely. I mean, with Frozen, I think being the most popular, and I
get,
you know, Disney of the past decade.
Yeah.
To see someone who looks like you in it.
Yes, is powerful.
Huge.
It's very important. Whenever I have those moments where people are like trying to hate on me, I'm always like, there's someone in the audience who needs to see this because they need to see themselves represented. And so I try to focus on that more than anything. And that always like pulls me through.
Has it been a sort of profound experience to get to... to get to be that princess?
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's funny though, because when I look back, like when I was offered the Standby, I was overwhelmed, of course, and very excited. But I didn't even think, like it took me a few months to go, oh, you're going to be the first Black person playing this princess. And then it took me a few more months to like see the impact that it would truly have. I just didn't fathom it, and hearing stories of like little girls in the audience being like, mommy, she looks like me, or like, I can be a princess because she looks like me, like those stories really was like, I was like, oh yep, okay,
this is important.
And it, like the first time I heard it, I bawled my little eyes out. But yeah, it's been very important, and I think it's representation matters.
It
and so
matters.
Just like everyone else gets to see themselves on stage, it like little young women of color deserve to see themselves. And in a positive role that's loving and goofy and like unapologetically her. Like, you just, you get what you get.
Yes. You embody a lot of what Anna is, honestly. I see that.
It's funny, too, because I went in for Elsa first.
Okay. Oh, I do want to hear you.
I know. Everyone's like, well, I would love to hear you sing that.
Yes.
But no, it's funny because I went in for Elsa and I was like, I can do this. And I have a younger sister. So I was like, okay, we're playing the older sister. Sure. Here we go. And I went into the room and they were like, you're young and you're like bubbly and that's not really. And I was like, okay. And I was like, I'll try again. I got a call back for Elsa and I went in again. And then they're like, so we want to see you read for Anna. And I was like, okay, great. It was cool. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. I never even put myself in that bracket, but I was like, oh, yeah, I could do that. Let's do it.
Yes. And you have, it's so beautiful to see the pictures that you post. And then you'll share the responses sometimes from young girls or moms or, it's incredible.
Yeah. And it gets me every time. I'm just like in tears all the time. Joyful tears, but just like, wow, thank you, God, for allowing me to have this opportunity to be able to inspire and like make someone else believe in themselves and take the limit off of what they think they can do.
Yes. You know? Yeah. I wonder, because, you know, back in like the late 90s, Toni Braxton went into Beauty and the Beast
and played
Belle. Yes. And it was obviously pre-social media.
Right.
So I wonder if there was any sort of an uproar or if because she was Toni Braxton, I don't know. Like,
I assume that there was. And it's probably funny, you'd be surprised by how many people like still write letters to the stage and like send you fan mail and things like that. So I'm sure it was even heightened back in the day.
Yeah.
That's so ridiculous to me.
Yeah. I'm like, when I was young, I wasn't looking up like the address to a theater to write to someone that like Heather Headley. Like, okay, where is she? You're in AIDA. Let me write you.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't. That wasn't even like on my radar. So the fact that people take the time to like draw pictures and draw and write letters and things like that, I'm like, oh, wow, this is cool.
Wait, AIDA though. Do you love it?
Yeah, that's my Ring of Keys moment.
Yes, let's
transition.
Yes, oh my God. Here, I got a little, I'll read us in here on this Ring of Keys experience.
Okay, so for young Allison in the musical Fun Home, her Ring of Keys moment occurred when she felt a sense of identification to a woman who walks into a luncheonette and she thinks, oh, that's me, girl. You know, for you, was it when you were sitting in the audience at your first musical, maybe watching a Disney movie, hearing a specific song?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose we know that it has to do
with AIDA, AIDA. Yeah. Okay. So Jacquina Calicango is currently in Slave Play on Broadway.
And she's amazing.
She's amazing.
Amazing.
And she and I went to high school together.
Oh, wow.
And we were doing the production of AIDA at my high school. I went to Performing Arts High School in Atlanta, Georgia. And, so I understudied her.
Okay.
So she was the main AIDA. And at first it went from like being double cast to like, you guys get one show. And we were like, okay, I'll take it. And so it was during that, like I went on for AIDA and I was singing, The Past is Another Land. Mm-hmm. I was singing that and I was on stage alone. I couldn't see anyone in the audience. It was like spotlight. I didn't see anything. And I was like so at peace. And I was like,
wow,
this is, I want to do this. Like, I just felt great. I felt great being able to use my passions and my gifts. And I just felt at home. And so that was like my moment that I was like, okay, I want to do this. This is cool. Oh. This is amazing. And I love Heather Headley. And like me and my brother would be in my parents' bathroom singing on our freaking brushes, melting out, written in the stars and elaborate lives.
Yes.
And like, yeah. So this reboot that I hear is happening.
Yes.
I'd love to be a part of it.
Yes. Come on.
But either way, I'll go support it because I love that story. I love that music. I love Heather Headley.
We're going to campaign for you for that. Look, yes.
Yeah. I'll openly receive it.
Yep. Wait, this reboot, is it supposed to, are they changing the show a lot?
I don't know. All I know is that Shelley Williams is directing it.
Okay.
And it's, I think that it's supposed to be an all black cast.
Okay, great.
And I don't know. I've heard rumors of like a movie. I've heard rumors of like tour.
Okay.
Rumors of like starting at Paper Mill, maybe coming to Broadway.
Disney
clue. Likes to do that.
Yeah, so. Like I have no clue. I don't know what's happening. I just keep hearing it and I'm like, ah!
Oh my God. I remember when I first discovered Aida, I was given the cast recording, cast album for Christmas one year and was just, I didn't know the plot. So what I would do is I would pull out the little booklet and listen to every song on my Walkman, you know, disc player. And I listened to all the songs and I would pause and then read what happens next in the story. And keep playing. And I remember being... So this is an Aida spoiler. I won't spoil the show, but just like sobbing, laying in my bed at like 12 years old. But I remember at that time hearing a rumor, or was this a rumor, or were we willing this into existence, that Christina Aguilera would play Amneris in a film version with Beyoncé.
Aida. No. That was Once Upon a Time, because I remember hearing Beyoncé was going to play Aida.
Yeah.
I remember that. It was a while ago, right?
Yes, maybe 10.
Yeah, it was a while ago. But yeah, I remember that rumor. Good. That was a rumor.
I didn't just like dream it up like I'm a casting director.
I mean, that would have been cool, but remember hearing that. Yeah,
she would have been great.
Yeah. I think so.
But now it's your turn.
I mean, come on.
Yeah,
that show is so good. I mean, it's Heather Headley was the
Disney princess.
And she won a Tony.
And she won a Tony, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, for that role. Mm-hmm.
And they wrote, did she get it for that? Because it was Lion King and then she went right into Aida.
Oh, you're right.
Okay.
But no, I mean, they wrote that for,
So as a teenager, you're singing like Easy as Life and like all these big songs. Like
literally.
How iconic.
But also like, I would love to hear that version because I'm sure it's not the greatest. But I was singing it. I was in the musical theater troupe at my school and we would go and perform and do different things. But yeah, I would be given solos and I always knew that I could sing. Like it's always been a passion of mine. But I also felt like I had so much that I needed to learn about health and technique and all that I did not get in high school. And I grew up singing in church with like... My dad is a pastor and my whole family, we all sing. So we all sang together. We would go Christmas caroling, like in the mall and everything. But like, you know, singing gospel is definitely not the healthiest form of using your voice. I love it, but I had to learn the like balance, you know?
Sure.
And so I went to college and I studied musical theater and then leaving college, I felt like I had the tools needed to prepare me for Broadway.
Oh my God. Which college did you go to?
I went to a little college called University of Northern Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Out in Greeley, Colorado.
So you left home.
Georgia girl goes west.
Georgia
girl goes west.
Yeah. It was a journey. I actually chose that school because I did the International Thespian Festival.
Okay. I've heard of it.
In Nebraska. And we... auditioned for it when I was in high school and we booked a like Hairspray. It was the main show for the conference that year.
Oh, wow.
And so what they did is they bring kids from all the states and we come together and we make up a cast and then we put the show on for the opening or whatever of the conference.
Wow.
Yeah. So like there were weekends my junior year in high school that I was flying out to Colorado to rehearse for like 2 or 3 days and then come back to school. Yeah. And then like then that summer we all were there at once and we put it together. But UNC was the housing school.
Okay.
So we went there, we put it up and we did it at UNC and then we took it to the conference.
Okay.
So randomly got to experience like the campus and the teachers and everything. And and it ended up being like, I felt at home there.
That's
I felt
cool.
comfortable. And when I went to audition for other schools, I didn't feel that same.
Okay.
Yeah. So ended up going there and I was like, okay, here we go.
What was like the highlight of your college time?
Oh, goodness.
Or like a role perhaps that you...
I played Reno Sweeney.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes!
Oh, my God. I'm sure you were unreal.
I played Reno Sweeney and I loved it. Oh, my goodness. I had so much fun. Well, that was so amazing.
I love that.
Singing that and it pushed me like dancing and it was good.
Because that's a lot of tapping, right?
Yeah, it is. And I don't consider myself a like... tapper.
Sure.
But I can learn give me what sounds do you need? Tell me what sounds. We can get it going.
That's right.
I consider myself a great mover. I move very well.
Great.
I can dance a little. Yeah.
And then in Frozen, you're like lifted up in the air and tossed over shoulders.
Lifts. Oh my God. Oh, we've had so many different versions of Love is an Open Door. I actually found a video of us practicing it in Denver with the one of our assistant choreographers. And there was a point where Anna lifted Hans.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
I think it got cut after Denver. I don't even know if it made it to opening night of Denver. It might have.
Wow.
But that song has been through. We've had cartwheels and lifts over your back, and you lift me and I lift you. And yeah.
And then you're singing while upside down.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was fun. That was hilarious. The first time I was like, all right, hope we can do this. Because also the first time that I actually did that on stage was the first day I went on.
Oh, my God.
Because I went on the day before the first understudy rehearsal.
Oh, of course you did, right?
The day before.
Oh.
Yeah, so I had just been sitting in rehearsals taking notes.
Right.
And I had gotten up on my feet maybe once or twice. There was a day that like Casey and Patty had a long lunch or they had a meeting or something. So Alyssa and I got to get up and sing like the end of First Time in Forever.
Okay.
But that was really, we hadn't really done much else except for like sit in the house during tech and we're taking
copious notes.
Was that
in Denver or on Broadway?
Broadway.
Okay.
So in Denver, we didn't go on at all.
At all. Okay.
Yeah. No, we didn't go on at all. We were rehearsed in Denver. So when we got to New York, we knew the Denver version of the show.
Okay.
But New York's version was different.
Oh.
Like we had a different finale. We got different songs were cut. Like, it changed.
That is so interesting.
Yeah. So then we sat down the whole rehearsal period and we're just, you know, we would get up and do choreo and do different things on the side. Then we had maybe like one or two, a few rehearsals. But that week, we were supposed to start our understudy rehearsals. Because for a new show, you don't start understudy rehearsal until the week after you open.
Okay, I got you.
So yeah, so my costumes, not all of them were ready. Because, you know, they focus on getting the main cast ready. Because they're the ones who have to do it 8 times a week. So yeah, it was a little hodgepodge, but it was crazy. Talk about a moment of just like trusting it and just going. And I had been rehearsed musically. I knew all the music.
Right.
I had gotten off book and made sure I, you know,
knew
everything.
You stayed ready.
Right. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Okay.
Yes, God. That's right.
And I was very attentive to the fact that Alyssa went on during previews.
Oh,
without
okay.
a rehearsal. And I was like, oh, if that happens to me, I'm gonna be ready.
Right.
And then it ended up happening the day before the first understudy rehearsal. But the biggest compliment was I wasn't called in the next day.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, you're on your gig.
Yes.
You know what you're doing.
You weren't doing the old Love is an Open Door for
no,
like lifting
you
John
were
Riddle.
You were ready to go. So yeah, so when I found out that I was going on because Patty was sick and she had done the matinee, but the evening show, they were like, oh, I think she might be able to get through it.
Okay.
And then they came back like 3 minutes later and was like, actually, you're going to be on. And I was like, okay.
So your heart rests for a second.
I was like, okay, it's going to be cool. Because we got together to rehearse in between shows just in case. And then they were like, oh, it's fine. You know, use the stage to prepare for rehearsal tomorrow if you want.
Okay.
And then they came back like 2 minutes later and was like, nope. And I was like, okay.
And the adrenaline just kicks in, I'm sure.
Yeah, because then we had like 2 hours before places. And so they just were like, okay, what costumes do we have? What wigs do we have? And then the ensemble was called in early to run, you know, anything I need. They were like, what do you need? And I was like, everything. But they were like, what do you need? And I was like, okay, we could do this, 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 and I'll be fine. Yeah.
What's the Fixer Upper song? I'm sure that's like a dizzying number.
Well, she doesn't actually sing it.
Oh, she doesn't have to.
She dances in it.
She dances, yeah.
But she doesn't actually have to sing one word in that song.
Okay, great.
The Fixer Upper, Fixer Deck, Fixer Rubber is, yeah. She doesn't have to sing it, so it's fine.
We love Frozen Umbrella.
I know. Like we've seen it twice.
Yeah, we've seen it twice.
I actually saw Alyssa the first time I went.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I would have seen you.
Maybe
I still will have a chance.
Yeah, you never, you truly
never
know.
You never know.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we love it.
You were also in Waitress.
Yes, which is closing tomorrow.
Which we love so much.
I'm
so seven
out.
Times I think we've gone.
Yes.
Tried to see as many of the Jennas.
Yeah, yeah.
But then
yeah,
also
yeah,
there
yeah.
was other people put in
yeah.
and came out and stuff. So and haven't been back since we saw it with Shoshana and Jeremy last summer.
Yes,
so good.
Shosh.
I can't believe we missed Jordan Sparks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was a shorter run, I think.
Yeah, hers was a little bit shorter than most of them. Mm. Yeah.
But you were in the original Broadway cast of Waitress, which is just how crazy. You're on the album. Like, we hear you.
Knock, knock. Yeah.
Oh,
that's, me. That's you.
And it's crazy because so we were in previews and that song happens during the like transition.
Yes.
Club Knocked
Up. Yes. Club Knocked Up. It happens during the transition, and it used to be, there used to be this long song for like the waiting room and all okay. stuff, but they ended up cutting it, and it was like, they were like, we need like 30 seconds of something that we can, you know. And so we came to rehearsals. So during previews, you're rehearsing throughout the day, and then at night you do a show, and then you come back the next day, and they're like, these are all the notes, put this in tonight, and then you do it like that.
Okay.
So we came back for preview rehearsals, and Sarah Burrows and Nadia, our MD, they pulled us into the room. They were like, so this is what we're going to put in. And we were like, okay. And they played it, and we were like, oh.
And
we were happy.
Harmonies.
Yes, the harmonies are so close. So we were overjoyed, but also like, we can't F this up. But yeah, we learned it. We were just in the rehearsal room, in the band room, going over it again and again and again and again.
What do you remember most when you think back about the waitress experience?
Oh, goodness, waitress. Goofing off with Ryan Vasquez all the time.
He and I spent the wrong man.
I went to go see him.
The
right man, okay. I love him. No, we spent a lot of our time together on stage. And so the wedding scene in the corner is where we stood, like by the band and everything. Mm-hmm. And they used to let us dance during the wedding. They've toned it down a lot, okay. Probably because of Stacey McCleskey, center stage, dancing her behind off. And there's a scene happening downstage. Aww. But also, like, Ryan and I would be in the corner just, like, going for it. Just going in. And we're like, you told us to dance, so yes. We're going to dance. But, yeah, there are many moments like that of just us laughing and just being complete idiots. But together.
Yes, of course.
And then the Macy's Day Parade, and like, yes. We did, I think it was a Good Morning America we did. One of the morning shows we did, and then we had a few hours, and then we went and recorded our cast album.
Oh my goodness.
So it was like a day. Yeah. And I was like a day off.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
But it was funny because we were all like tired and getting moody and stuff, but the whole day we just laughed and like goofed off and had so much fun. Aww. And just being able to work with Sarah Bareilles.
I know. I was going to say, you obviously are a fan.
Yeah. Like in college, I remember listening to, was it Little Voice?
Mm-hmm.
And just screaming that out loud in my room.
Yes.
And then when I got the show, I was like, wow, this is, I think I've written it in one of her cards. I'm sure. Oh. I've written that down. But yeah, like being able to connect to her, she's such a beautiful spirit and like immensely talented, yes, but just like an angel.
Oh, that's, I love
her. Like, she's so kind and like down to earth and a goofball.
I love
her. She can really write a song too.
Yeah.
The emotion that she puts behind
it.
Yeah, lyrics, music, like melodies, everything. It's all there. So it was cool just to be in a room with her and then be in the room with Jesse Mueller.
Ah. Now, was she in Beautiful?
She wasn't Beautiful
well? Okay.
When I joined, but it was like her last month or two.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so I did get to work with her, but I didn't get to like rehearse and all that.
Sure.
Those different types of things. But putting up a show and watching her create and just like, I learned a lot from watching her. Like,
I think she's a genius.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. And she knows how to ask questions. I think when you're building a show, everyone has different opinions and we're like changing things and throwing this scene out and putting this song in and everyone wants to be a chef. And I think she finds that balance of respect for what the creative team wants to do, but also being able to like stand up for herself and say, hey, I have an idea and like, could we try like this? But it's not in a like, well, I think it should go this way. You know, it's
absolutely.
It's very kind and like respectful and generous and like, yeah.
That's really amazing.
A consummate
sets the
tone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What a thing to learn, too. Because I can imagine it would be very intimidating to step into any sort of situation when you're building something from the ground up.
Yeah.
And you know, you're their star.
Right.
You don't want to get in trouble. Or,
yeah,
you
but
know.
You also don't want your interpretation to get lost. And, you know, you want to bring that forward, but in a respectful way. It was really cool. So watching her do that and performing on the Tony Awards.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was, I was like, yep, bucket list. This is dope. This is amazing. And just being a part of an original Broadway cast, that's something that has been on my list.
Oh, yeah.
So being able to do that was really
cool. And that season was crazy.
Hamilton. We were all like, really? We had to be in the season with Hamilton?
I know. I felt that way about a lot of the shows that season.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
I think they were just so good and strong. Mm-hmm. And I think that Waitress would have been.
I know that's everyone's like, Waitress would have won. I'm like, I don't care.
I know. Like, Sarah Bareilles was already nominated for another Tony for her contributions to SpongeBob, which is fun.
Right.
So it's like, we haven't seen the last of her.
Oh,
on
no.
Broadway,
and Jesus Christ Superstar. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was so great.
Yeah. She's amazing.
Oh, my God.
She really is.
She'll be around.
She's got it all.
I have a fun Sarah Bareilles story. Her music director called me so that I could sing background for her on SNL.
Oh my gosh.
And I was overjoyed, but guys, I didn't check the voicemail.
No.
So no. I didn't do it.
What was it, like an unknown number or something?
Yeah, it was a number. Yeah, and I'm so bad with checking my voicemail. 2020.
Yeah, 2020. That's your declaration.
But yeah, I'm really bad. And so I checked it late, and it was like a day or two late, and I couldn't. I was so mad. But I was also overjoyed at the fact that she even thought of me in that way.
College Aisha was probably like
freaking out.
Who is
also pissed at the same time. Like, what were you doing? And it's like a California number.
Oh my goodness.
And I've been getting those, you know, we get all these robocalls.
Yes.
So I was just like, ugh, whatever. Yeah. What is this? And I'm like, doo doo doo. And then I finally check it and I was like, you have to be kidding me.
But that would have been amazing.
Yeah, when did she do SNL again?
It was 2019.
Okay.
I think it was the summertime. Was it the summer or spring?
Album.
Yeah, it was like spring or summer.
Spring, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That's so cool. Fun.
Yeah, and we got to listen to that album at the Brooks.
Oh, how
she
cool.
She had a listening party and she let us come. So it was really cool.
So you're part
cool.
of like her family at the time. And then how was that experience of working with Diane Paulus?
Oh, DP.
DP.
Diane and I have actually worked together. That was our second time working together.
Okay.
She gave me my first job here in the city doing Witness Uganda.
Okay.
Which became
Invisible Thread.
Invisible Thread.
So, yeah, Witness Uganda we did at the American Repertory Theater. And then I came back and I did Beautiful. I did like Once on This Island somewhere. I did Memphis in Colorado.
That's Felicia.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then, which was crazy when you said that. I was like, oh my God, throwback. which also, Ring of Keys, seeing Montego Glover do that on Broadway. That was my first Broadway show that I ever saw.
Oh my goodness.
Her. Yeah. Seeing, and clearly like representation matters. Like seeing her on stage do that, I was like, yes.
Unbelievable.
But yes, working with Diane is amazing. It's another learning experience. Mm-hmm. So you sit there and watch her do her thing and the way she like pulls different things out of people. And yeah, it's cool. And
we just saw Jagged Little Pill last night.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
She directed that, right?
Yes, she did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just the way I was thinking to myself, like, she can keep so many moving parts so tightly together.
Yes, 100%.
Like the transitions of
her. She's all about picture. Like, mm-hmm. she has to see it visually. She's always like, this, okay, let's do that again. Actually, can we? Or she'll put in a change and we're like, okay. And she's like, you want to run that again? And we're like, okay. But that's just how she works. Mm-hmm. She needs to see it. Yeah.
Her production of Pippin that has become what many people think that is like what Pippin is. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I'm like, ooh, leading player for Aisha.
Hey, look.
That could be something right there.
There are many roles. But my dream role is actually for someone to write a show for me. Yeah.
Oh, so
and
it'll
create.
Happen. It'll happen. Yeah.
Maybe I'm it'll be worried. Sarah Bareilles because she's got you on her.
You know,
mind.
Sarah. Hello.
That would be so great. Like how they wrote If Then for Adina.
Yeah. Like, you know, they do those things. And so I think it's really cool. So, and I've met a few people. I've been in talks. I'm like, when are you going to write my show?
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. So we have some, we'll see. We have some options.
Well, because you are, as Connor mentioned, you are very in demand. Like, I know
that's
that you
so
do
funny
a lot
that
of,
you guys said that.
Well, it's known that you do a lot of like workshops or labs.
I do.
Like that.
That's a known thing.
Well, sure.
Yeah. That's crazy.
People love you. And
no, yeah, I do. I love working on developmental labs and workshops and things. I've had the pleasure. I was in the workshop of Ain't Too Proud.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I did. Well, we did. What was it? A lab? I did the lab of Waitress before it came to Broadway. What else? Oh my God! You guys put me on the spot.
You can't say. You never know.
I can't say all of
them. In case there's anything that's super secret
there's
in the
some,
drama.
There's some baking in the oven.
Yes.
But no, yeah, it's been really cool to because I feel like in school they don't tell you about that part of it,
right?
Mm. Like they talk to you about like being the star, doing this or doing that. They don't talk so much about how many people work on these things behind the scenes. It's really cool. Yeah, I got to do the Smokey Joe's lab before it went off Broadway. Oh my goodness,
you're busy, girl.
There's so many of them. Yeah, but it's fun, and it's always like it's a test to do double duty too, because it's like pacing, and it's like doing rehearsal all day from 10 to 6 and then coming at night and doing the show.
That's crazy.
But it builds a nice little stamina and strengthens all of your gifts. But when that double duty is over, I'm like, I need to sit down. But no, it's cool. And it's good because you get to work with so many different choreographers and directors and actors, and everyone works differently. So it's important to learn how those people would like to run their room and be able to adapt to that, and or figure out that you don't like how some people work. I don't want to do that. Everything is a lesson. Everything is a lesson. But yeah, it's been really cool.
I love it. Your perspective on life is so inspiring. Always like, just the way that you approach situations and look back on things is so cool.
Thank you, you have positivity
emanating from you.
Thank you. That's the goal. That's my, it's actually like a prayer of mine to just be a light and to look at things from a positive perspective, because if we looked at everything, like, we could be pissed all day long. Like, there's so much happening, but I think it's a better, you have a better quality of life, you know?
Where do you think that comes from for you?
For me, it comes from the Lord. It comes from God. It comes from my family and my upbringing, and just like, I don't know, I've just always been somebody who, I like to make people laugh, and I like to make people smile, and like to share joy. And so that's always been a part of me. So I think focusing more so on the positive usually helps to bring more of that out.
Absolutely.
Than, you know, having a little fit about everything. And it's, I mean, it's a lesson though, because like standing by has also been like a roller coaster. And people, we hear about like the glory of it, but it's a really weird job. And you're sitting in the corner and you're just up there and you're like, okay. And I've definitely had moments where I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, what's my purpose? Is this, I don't feel valued. I don't, like, I've had to talk myself through those moments, and with prayer and amazing friends in the support group, and just a reminder, I have to use those reminders of like the young chocolate princesses being like, I see a chocolate princess, you know, like you have to use those things to fuel you, you know? So I have my moments, but I don't think it's good to sit in them.
Yes.
You know, have it, do what you need to do, be mad, be upset, and then let it go.
Yes. Truly. Oh my God.
So. You are a queen. All right. We're kind of wrapping up here, to be honest with you.
It's a two show day here for all of us in the room.
You guys have to go and see the rest of the play.
But we like to end on a little dramatic note. Yes. And we like to share the drama in our hearts.
Share the drama.
Or lives. You know, it could be an impeachment that's currently happening.
Oh, thank the Lord.
Yes. Or maybe a Rihanna album that was promised. That never came. Or, you know, or an anniversary or a special event that's coming up, something in pop culture that you're binging, that you're watching, that you've seen.
I definitely just spent way too much time watching the second season of You on Netflix.
Did you
finish it?
I watched all of it.
Did you watch how long did it took me, like, okay, I paced. Pacing, quote unquote. It took me 3 days to watch it. I literally, as soon as I got home, I was like, press play. Here we go. What's happening? And then it just kept, you know, it's like next episode in 10 seconds. And I'm like, press play, press play. It's so good.
I like season two better than season one.
Season two, it took me a while to get into it because he's more of the focus in season two.
That's true. Season one, it was split between Joe and Beck had her own story.
And Beck. I felt like season one was about Beck.
Yeah.
But this one delved more into him and his crazy mind.
Oh my God.
But also love. Come on.
I know. She
surprised me. We're getting spoilery.
I know. So, you have to watch.
Isn't he like a sociopath?
He's a creep.
Okay. Yes. Totally. But you sort of root for him in a way that's like, you don't want him to succeed, but you're
you understand why he's hurting.
Yes.
I think in these situations, we see people, psychopaths, whatever, and we label them, but you don't take the time to understand their trauma. Mm-hmm. And I think season two, it delves into like his trauma and why he is the way he is.
Yeah.
Not to say that it is an appropriate way to live.
100%. I know.
But you're more understanding of it, and you're like, oh, that's why you're like that.
Yes.
And I kind of just wanted him to like go to therapy, and like he had the little Reiki moment, he and did. I was like, okay, now go fix yourself.
I loved that.
Yeah, I did.
The show sounds good.
Season two was super dynamic.
Season two, yeah, it was. And for a moment, I was like, I don't know what's about to happen.
I know. Well, I think that I watched season one week to week on cable.
Oh.
And then it was on
Cable
Netflix.
Queen right over here.
Yep. No more. I don't even have cable at home.
Who's got the money?
We're on our way out with
it. No, it's cost too much.
I know.
But I watched it week to week, and I honestly watched it because I loved Gossip Girl, and mm-hmm. you know, Penn was on that. Mm-hmm. And then I love Shay Mitchell, who was on season one as Peach.
Got it.
And so I watched it week to week, and I found it to be a little bit tiresome and a little bit repetitive. Mm-hmm. And then it dropped on Netflix, and everyone binged it. And they were like, yeah. Oh my God, it's amazing. It's so good. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, well, maybe it's a good binge. Because the aspects of it that made me feel like, come on, just get to it already.
Right.
Be eliminated.
When you're binging it, yeah, you can just watch it. You're just like, oh, okay, this is happening next. Because that's exactly why I watched it that quickly.
Yeah.
Is because it tails off, and I'm like, this is a... What's happening next? So I just kept watching it.
And my crush is the actor. Not the character.
Wait, is it 40?
40.
Ah!
What do you think?
40 is cute. He is cute. In the end, I was like, oh, you're sane.
Yeah.
You are a sane person.
He's cute. He was giving it to me.
He was gay.
I think the actor is gay also.
Oh.
Openly gay.
Wow.
Now,
40?
40, are you listening?
Where are you?
Now, when you're... there for the show and you're up on the seventh floor.
I can do whatever the hell I want.
I was going to say, that would honestly be in some ways a dream scenario for me to be able to be like, oh, I've been meaning to get through the crown.
There are days that we're like, yes, we don't have to do the play. And we're upstairs, like we've redecorated our room. So it's very cozy.
Is it you and Alyssa?
It's me, Alyssa, and our dance captain and our female swings.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we're all up there and we all came together, and my friend Trevor Noah, he's in the touring cast of Hamilton.
Nice.
But he came and he redecorated. So that's, it's like fun. Very cozy. It's pretty. And we sit up there, we Netflix, we read, Alyssa and I remix every song in the show. There are many videos of that.
I want like the mixtape right now.
There are so many.
The
like
frozen
when I
mixtape.
Yeah. And I want to do a solo concert. That's one of my declarations.
Ooh.
I want to do a solo concert this year, and I will definitely have a Frozen medley of like
good
remix and just like do, because we have so many remixes.
The possibilities are probably endless.
The possibilities are limitless. Come on.
Yeah.
But yes, when you're up there, it's like, it's free game. You can mm-hmm. do whatever you like.
I'd love that. It'd be dangerous for me because I would probably just be watching Disney Plus or
Netflix.
Well,
it's good. It's cool on some days, and then on some days you're like, why am I here?
Yeah.
Like, you have that moment of like, everyone else is doing the play and mm-hmm. I'm not. And so you have moments of that. But like I said, you gotta get through those. And,
absolutely.
And I'm like, oh, I have time to do double duty.
Yes.
Oh, I have time to work on these projects. I have time to audition and prepare and all these different things. So yeah, find a way to use it to your benefit.
Uh-huh,
yes, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so season two is a huge drama.
Yes.
My dose of drama is probably, like, looking back on last year, I do always set resolutions.
Yes.
And I didn't, for the first time in years, didn't mm-hmm. achieve one of them, which was to read 26 books.
Oh.
Which is a lot of books.
It's
at least two a month.
It is.
But I did follow through on the other part of that resolution, uh-huh. was to only read books, fiction and nonfiction, that were either written by or featured LGBTQ plus characters.
Nice.
And I will say, there is an embarrassment of riches on that end in terms of books.
Mm-hmm.
So many good ones.
Respect.
Maybe I'll post my list.
Yes,
but
you should.
I read some really amazing,
amazing
fiction stories and autobiographies.
Yeah.
It was really great.
Did you read Janet Mock's second book that
I did.
Gave to you?
Okay, yeah, Janet Mock. Yeah.
Ooh,
incredible.
I need to read that. It's good.
So good, so good. And I'm currently reading the Call Me By Your Name sequel called Find Me. And I guess it is 2020 now, so I guess it's bleeding into this year.
There
but
you.
Friends would tell me, oh, you should read this book, you should read that book. And I would say to them, okay, but is it written by someone, or is there any LGBTQ characters in it? And almost every time they'd say, you know what, there's not. So I would be like, all right, I'm going to shelve it till 2020.
Yeah.
So, but it has made me think
Literally, representation matters,
you know.
Yes.
But it made me think about what stories am I especially interested in consuming.
Yeah.
We
have to be mindful about that.
Yeah.
And supporting those people so that they have, you know, the support to write more books and move on to other things.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So maybe this year I'll read like one of those books a month, and then I'll do like every other month.
It's like a random. Yeah. I'm such a slow reader. It takes me time to like delve in and like grasp it. But I've been pushing myself to read more too. And yeah. I have a lot of time to do so. I'm bad because I'll start the book and then I won't finish it. Like I get really happy and then I like forget to bring it on the train or Or I like see all these titles and authors that I'm interested in and I click them and I buy them all. They're all at my house.
You've got a good library at least.
I have a great library. Mm-hmm. So whenever I'm ready, I'm just like, okay, here we go. So yeah, right now I'm reading More Than Enough by Elaine Welteroth.
Nice. Yes. So far, so good.
It's really good. It's my really list. Good. I'm almost done with it.
Okay, there you go.
Look at myself.
Yes. It's how many days into the new year? And you're
I know.
Already...
Look at that. So there we go.
I love it. Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
My dose is that everyone's been talking about it, and I don't know what else I can contribute, but saw Cats over the holiday.
I want to see it. I didn't see it.
It's iconic in every way. And people.
I've heard many different
that's
reviews.
That's the thing. It's like everyone's like, I think my only question for the universe, and I tweeted this and I did get some thoughtful responses, was what were people expecting? It's Cats. It's a bizarre, whimsical, provocative
weird.
In a strange way story. And
so weird.
Maybe it's the fact that the cutting edge, I'm using air quotes, cutting edge fur technology that they said they were going to be used doesn't really look that good. Or the fact that they all have human hands.
Well, they're taking it back.
Right.
And then they're going to re-release it.
I know.
Which and is I'm just like, so cracked.
Yeah. Like, why was it released in the first place?
I know. It's like they were racing against the clock. And It was bizarre. It does have some really great performances. Jason Derulo is incredible. It's from Tom Tugger.
God.
And Ms. Taylor Swift is... legendary in the most bizarre way, singing Macavity.
Yeah.
She
does like this breathy thing.
It's so breathy.
I haven't seen it. Yeah. Oh my God.
I need you to see
it. Are you a fan of the musical?
Not the biggest. Yeah, I mean, but like, yes, we all have to love and respect it in some way.
My
you
boyfriend
know?
Said the same thing. He's like, we have to respect what it does for the art. Like, and he played Monk's Trap at one point. So I'm partial to it.
Did
in
you
some
see
ways.
It on Broadway?
Saw the revival. Yes. And it was crazy wild.
Yes.
Never in my life have I seen more people pulling out phones to take video and pictures of things.
Oh.
I think maybe because it's such an international phenomenon.
Yeah. And that set was great. That set was cool.
I think eventually they caved and let people come up on stage and take pictures. During intermission with Old Deuteronomy.
Yeah, I think. I saw that.
And who was that actor? Who was
Q. Yes,
Quentin
Earl Darrington. Yeah.
Who was in Once on This Island and many other things.
He's dope.
So that's my dose. Is just Cats was insane and iconic, and you kind of have to see it to believe it.
I want to see the bad version, and then I want to go back and see the other one.
Yeah.
See what the difference is.
Yeah. Aisha, we'll do you have a dose of drama or anything?
You.
Was that what you say? Was you? Was
oh,
you
yes,
yours?
Yes.
Okay, great. Amazing.
That's my dose.
Oh, my God.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thanks. I hope I didn't ramble.
So much
not
fun.
At all.
I was looking at the time and I'm like, whoa, where I know. Did it go?
We're like, you're breezing through.
Let me
did
plug
we get everything?
You. Let me plug you.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, so
plug.
Everyone follow Aisha on Twitter at Starring Aisha.
My siblings made that name. And I don't know how to change it.
It's cute. Oh.
It's so cute.
It's cute. Yeah. I do love your Instagram handle. Gifted2Sing. That's iconic.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank
so everyone
you.
Give her a follow. Follow Drama at
The Drama Podcast.
On Twitter and Instagram.
Follow me at Dylan McDowell.
Me at Connor McDowell.
And I guess we'll see you next week.
Yes. Thanks, Aisha.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Drama.